The reading of God's Word from the book of James, James the first chapter, beginning with the 19th verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Not long ago, NBC News and Esquire magazine conducted a survey of over 3,000 Americans to try to get to the bottom of what they said was this sense of rage, this unbridled anger that seems to be so characteristic of our American culture today. And what they determined is that for most people, there was a thread of self-preservation that ran through the anger that so many expressed. There are other people standing in my way. My life is not working out for me. There is no prospect that anything will ever get any better. People are not meeting their needs. People do not agree with me on things that are of utmost importance to me. You can understand how so many of the responses went, and why so many people today find themselves in such fits of rage, so much so that anger, or at least dealing with our anger, has become big business. There is an opportunity here. I read of one facility in, of all places, Tucson, Arizona. It is called The Breaking Point. And you, for $10 for every 10 minutes, $10 for 10 minutes, you figure how much you need to spend. You go into one of two rooms and you break stuff. You take a hammer to appliances and ceramics and other fragile objects, and you just smash them to bits. But before you go in, you must understand that you have to don protective gear. You have to wear this outfit. You have to make sure that you have on eyeglasses because, as many of us have experienced, sometimes venting your anger can be dangerous to one's health. As the old saying goes, anger is just one letter short of danger. So isn't there an opportunity for the church to speak into this situation? Do not we, as people of faith, followers of Jesus, have something to say about this malady that is so deep-rooted and deep-seated in American culture today? The answer, of course, is yes. But sadly, and I mean this with all of my heart, sadly, for far too many people, church has become a place where people attend to nurture their anger and their ire and their sense of rage at everything and everyone, including God. Here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, I think you would agree this is one of the most stable and emotionally healthy communities of faith that you will ever find. And yet, if we were to conduct a survey here in our church this morning, I dare say that there would be quite a few who could say that there has been a time in the life of their involvement with this church that someone has upset us and provoked us and irritated us, because there is not a congregation in this world that is immune to provocations and irritations. Never has been. Pick up your New Testament and read epistles penned by divinely inspired individuals who wanted to speak God's truth into situations in ways that would help them to be able to walk the straight and narrow. In every letter in the New Testament, there is some underlying provocation and irritation to which God inspires someone to speak God's truth, like the passage that is before us this morning from the book of James, what is called by students of the New Testament a general epistle, or you might hear it referred to as a Catholic epistle with a lowercase c, as in universal or general. First chapter, first verse, James, considered to be the brother of our Lord, leader of the church in Jerusalem, writes this letter to the 12 tribes that are scattered throughout the world, among the nations, God's people who, because of persecution, had been driven away from Jerusalem to parts far and wide. Now, if anyone had any reason to be angry about something, it would be a persecuted people. And yet, when you read James's letter, James is not so much concerned about the anger that has been caused by people on the outside of the church. He's not so much focused on the external provocations and irritations. You read the letter, and what really concerns James is the anger that emanates from within the walls of the body of Christ. And so in verse 19 of the very first chapter, James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes these words, "My brothers and sisters, take note of this." I mean, that's like taking a marker, a yellow marker, and a black marker, and starring and underlying and underscoring and emphasizing, "This is important," he's saying to the church. "Do not miss this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak." And in a couple of chapters, the third chapter, James is really going to go to town on what happens when we allow our tongues to get the best of us. "Be quick to listen and be slow to speak and be slow to become angry, because man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Did you hear that? Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. In other words, in the church to which James was writing, multiple churches, it's a general epistle, People were conflating their purpose with God's purpose, their anger with God's anger. In the churches to which James was writing, the people, the recipients, were under the assumption that their indignation was what we might call righteous indignation. But James is saying, oh no, oh no. Don't make that assumption. Man's anger does never bring about the righteous life that God desires. Over the course of these last several Sundays, we've been in a series titled Sins That Jesus Carried to the Cross. We began with the sin of fear. We talked about how Jesus and God's perfect love expressed at Calvary cast out all fear. God's perfect love cast out all fear. We talked about worry, and we've talked about arrogance, and we've talked last Sunday about jealousy. And all of those sins are sins that we pray for God's grace to transform our hearts so that our hearts are rid of all of those evil, sinful emotions. We want God to come into our lives and to do something that only God can do and expunge our hearts of all fear, worry, and arrogance, and jealousy. Lord, rid us of those things. But anger? This is why anger is such a serious sin. Because it's really not appropriate for us to pray for God to rid us of our anger completely. Anger, instead, is something that we must pray for God to help us manage. And specifically in ways that do not allow us to mistake the things that make us angry automatically as the things that make God angry. We must pray for God to give us wisdom and discernment in order that our anger is not merely human anger tinged by a sense of self-preservation. Other people are standing in my way. They're keeping me from opportunities. They don't agree with me. So that we make sure that when we do become angry, we're angry about the right things. We're angry about the things that make God angry. In my own life, I wrestle with my anger just as I know you wrestle with your anger for precisely the same reasons that you wrestle with your anger. And I'm praying for God to help me work on my anger so that my anger might bring about the righteous life that God desires, because it mirrors the things about which God is angry. And so there are three steps that I've taken in my own life that I would offer to you as suggestions. I should say three steps that I have to take every day. This is an ongoing process in order for God to help me manage my emotions and in particular my bent toward anger. In the first place, I find it important to acknowledge my anger. When I feel myself getting angry, to own it and not project it. Pass it off on someone else. I have found in my own life, in my own experience, that anger is a kind of caution light. You're driving down the road and you see a yellow light flashing, and we all know what a yellow light means. It means there may be some danger up ahead. Something is ahead of us that is not as it should be. It is abnormal. It's not the usual circumstance or situation that we're about to face. There is something that we need to pay attention to. That's why James in this passage of Scripture says, brothers and sisters, it's a yellow light that's flashing. Take note of this. So that when we feel ourselves becoming angry, we must ask ourselves the question, okay, is this anger about God or is it about me? It's an important question. So that we make sure we check ourselves in order to be certain that what this rush of emotion is, it's welling up inside of it, is not just something that is about our selfish needs and agendas and purposes instead of God's. And if the answer to that question is, this is about something that makes God angry also, it leads us to the second suggestion, which is then, if we are certain that our anger is righteously motivated, then we must do something about it. We must allow that anger to inspire us to rectify some wrong, to act on the side of justice, to level the playing field for those who have been treated unfairly. When I look, 75th year, Mountain Brook Baptist Church, defined our DNA, other-centered, a missional congregation, when I look at the track record of this great congregation, on so many occasions, the good that we have done has come about because someone or some small group in this church said, this is enough, there is something that is not right, this is not of God, and God has called us to do something about it. So you look at all of those missions causes to which Chad alluded in his Generosity Sunday testimony. Each of those motivated and moved by people from within our church who said, God does not like this and He has raised us up to do something about it. If your anger is righteously motivated, then as James will say three verses later, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Let your anger motivate you to righteous activity. But if the answer to the question is, no, my anger is my anger, and I may want to co-opt God and bring Him into this little pity party that I am having with myself, but I can't do that, not in good conscience. This isn't about God. This is about Doug. If the answer is no, then you pray for God to be gracious to you and to do something in your heart that will help you confess your wrong motivation so that then you might be free to be used of God in ways that bring about His kingdom purposes. And every day, I have to pray that prayer. God, give me grace to control my emotions so that my life is about You and not about me. And it may be that this morning, that might be a prayer that you need to pray for. for you as well. Because our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. William Willimon, professor at Duke Divinity School, former bishop of the North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church. His office is right here in Birmingham. Written many books. One of his books, a book on the seven deadly sins, and I love this title, Sinning Like a Christian. Sounds like an oxymoron. Sinning like a Christian. But if you sin like a Christian, Paul says this in Romans, then grace abounds. And he saves the last chapter of the book for anger, because Willimon recognizes what we all recognize. This is a toughie. God's got to help me manage it. Sinning like a Christian. He tells a story in there about a woman he met from Belfast, Ireland. He said, "This is the most godly person I have ever known." And part of her godliness comes about because of a tragic experience that every day God helps her to move beyond. As a young woman, her husband in Belfast was killed by political revolutionaries right before her eyes in cold blood. Willimon says if there ever was a person who had the right to be angry, it was that woman. And as a pastor, he said, my heart just went out to her and I commiserated as best I could with her and how sorry I am for your loss. And yet, she said, I pray for the people who took my husband's life. And Willimon said, at that point, I could not help myself. How do you do it? How do you find the strength, the grace to pray for your husband's murderers? She said, it was not long after my husband's death. I was in church. And in church, in their church, like at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, they pray the Lord's Prayer every Sunday. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. How many Sundays do those words just roll off our tongues? But on this Sunday, she said, it was like the gates of heaven opened and the power of God came down, and I understood that I needed God's grace to see me through this horrible loss. And I prayed and I prayed, and every day I pray that prayer, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And he said, she told him that over the course of time, God has done that. He's given me grace, and he's given me so much more than just grace to move beyond that point. He's given me this sense of freedom to be able to serve the cause of Christ in ways that bring me great joy. Her anger became a means of inspiration to address the same causes that bring such grief to God. And Willimon said, I still couldn't wrap my mind around it. I thought about it for several days, and then it dawned on me the story of Jesus, who on the cross gave expression to that prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Willimon said, I began to see that God's anger against the sin that exists in this world was expressed on Calvary, and in one dramatic, decisive act, God showed his wrath against sin and at the same time, his mercy towards sinners. And if God could do that, if he could show his wrath and his grace, then perhaps God could do it even in my life in such a way that it would change me for the better. My brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning and you've never been angry in your life, be honest and take note of this. Our anger does not serve the righteous life that God desires. But when we open our hearts and our minds to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, so that we are moved, inspired, liberated to serve God's purposes in the world, we bring glory to God. We make much of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we are delivered from our anger to experience the life in all of its abundance, that Jesus died and was raised for us to know. Life more abundant here, and life more abundant in heaven forever. And there is nothing that anyone should ever be anything but happy about that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. God, we are grateful for your love for us in Jesus Christ. So much so that you gave Christ to be the means to our salvation, to forgive us of our sinfulness, and to provide us the power through your grace to live in ways that glorify you. So we pray this morning, O God, that your truth and your mercy would fall upon us, that we might be free to live for you and to produce in everything that we say and do the righteous life that you desire for Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.